Today, let's look at Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read this to you, then we'll move into it. Jeremiah the prophet, while he, Jeremiah, was still confined in the guard's courtyard, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. The Lord who made the earth, the Lord who forms it to establish it, Yahweh is his name, says this. And the Lord said, call to me and I will answer you. Tell you great and wondrous things you do not know. Let's pray together, okay? Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. I pray, Lord, that you help me to understand your Holy Spirit today. If you give me a word of knowledge to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, remind me that you're looking at all of us today, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher and a preacher, and I have a greater judgment on me than anybody on campus today. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Desperate days require desperate measures. It's a desperate time in the life of Jeremiah. His Jerusalem is being sieged and destroyed. And his Jerusalem is being attacked by the Babylonians. They've been doing it for several months. Walls are starting to tear down, and the people inside the walls started tearing down their houses, even some palaces, and pushing them up against the wall to try to help fortify it. So you can imagine taking the debris from your home and pushing it up against the wall. Like if somebody were coming in a room, you move a chest of drawers across the door to be able to brace it. This is what they're doing with their homes, helping people not be a part of the siege. And his Jerusalem, Jeremiah's Jerusalem, was starting to fall and to fail. Jeremiah's in jail at this time. We know that in verse 1. But the Lord came to him. And one thing that we are going to get and leave with today is that God is a reliable source for us, no matter what season you're in of your life. And if you remember the preaching series we did some time ago called Seasons, it's the one you reacted to more than any I have ever done in 33 years of preaching. And whatever season you are in life, you and I have to realize that God is the reliable source of where we run and where we go. In Jeremiah, in verse 2, it says here that Jeremiah is being reminded of who the Lord is. It says, the Lord who made the earth and the Lord who forms it to establish it, Yahweh is his name. He's getting the picture. Let me show you how God will show you who he is as a reliable source. Look at verse 32:27. This is a chapter where Jeremiah is asking for understanding of what's going on. And look, the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Do you see how he does that? I'm the God who's formed it all. I've been looking at the anniversary of the moon landing, which some of you all think it was a hoax. But I've been looking at the anniversary of the moon landing, and I'm just going, man, his creation, I'm in awe, and it's absolutely mind-boggling and blowing at the same time. I use this verse at the end of the first service because you're going, hey, man, the water main break is no big deal. It's no big deal to us. Well, it is a big deal because we have a full-time daycare and we minister to children. So we got to get on this thing. And when I ended the first service, I said, you are the God of all water main breaks. Let's get this thing fixed. We got to get to a point. I am the God of all flesh. Is there absolutely anything that is too difficult for me? When you go to God, the reliable source that he is, I believe through scripture and even through spiritual experience, he's going to remind you of what he has done and what he's taken care of, what he has put in order, what he has established, he will do. Sometimes God reminds you not only of what you know, but God will remind you of what you don't know. Those of you who are a part of our discipleship culture, there's about 20 groups being sent out this fall. One of the key things that we teach in our discipleship culture is this: you can't learn what you think you already know. You can't learn what you think you already know. Let me put it to you in this point. We look at Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, and we're going, man, Paul is the poster child for this and for that. I mean, he's just the picture of mission and obedience and commitment and all. But you go to Paul, and he does answer this for us in Scripture. He said, hey, guys, I haven't obtained it all yet. I haven't obtained it. I was raised in church. Many of you all in here were raised in just about every kind of form of church. Some of you have never been raised in church. And I could say, well, man, I understand how to do church because of my tradition and my past. But let me tell you what my prayer is today. It is such a different world that my constant prayer is, hey, Lord, I need you to help me understand how to navigate this church through the culture that we have today. Because it's not the same culture that I grew up with. It's not the same issue. It's not how do I grow a church. How do I affect Frankfurt and Lawrenceburg? How do I do that? How am I being able to do that? I'll tell you two answers lately, personally in my life. Is I'm on the board at the hospital, and I'm not only in the board of the hospital, I'm the chairman of the board of the hospital. And how we have implemented prayer in that place, how that's happened is unbelievable. We have breakfast together after board meetings. Our discussion after all the meeting is adjourned and over with is about Jesus. We had a blessing of the hands for the nurses that those hands are God's hands. It's one way of navigating is let's go to where people are. I'm Fish and Wildlife District Commissioner, and I'm at major board meetings throughout the year. Show you how perspective happens. I had a guy, he was fussing at me one day. He said, we need to take better care of our elk. And he got done, and I just kept hearing hour, 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 hour. And I said, let me stop you for a moment. I said, have you ever made an elk? No. Well, they're not your elk. They're his elk. And he looked at me. He goes, yeah, but they're in the boundary of Kentucky. I said, elk can't read. They don't know that sign says West Virginia. I said, listen, I'm into conservation because they're his elk. They're his critters, right? And he stopped and looked at me, and it's just being where we are and giving a whole nother perspective. I had to remind him of what the Lord did with Jeremiah. Hey, Jeremiah, you're asking me for understanding? Let me get some things straight here. I'm the God of all flesh. Do you think there's anything too hard for me? And then, Jeremiah, let me remind you, I created the earth and I formed it all. Let me remind you of who I am. God sometimes lets you know what you know, but he also lets you know what you don't know. Remember, you can't learn what you think you already know. So you and I have got to sit here today, and there are some things we know about God, but we've got to stop and say there are some things we are yet to learn about God. We've got to do that. One of the warnings in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a life verse for many of us, is don't lean to your own understanding. And a lot of us, the reason we don't commune with God is because we lean in our own understanding, and we think we have it all figured out. And if we've got it all figured out, why do we need his advice? Why does he need to be that reliable source for us? Because we've got it all figured out. He will remind you that you don't. He will remind you that you don't have it all figured out. So the invitation is in verse 3, in verses 1 through 3. We're going to look at the bottom verse. In verse 3, his invitation, first of all, is to call to me. It's an invitation to commune with him, to pray. It's an invitation for you to call for help. It's an invitation to have a call for rescue, the rescue that you need to have. There's a call here. And I want to say this, and I you can laugh at me if you want to. It's okay. Have you been around people and they think God's hard of hearing? Have you been around those people? And they get to praying, and then there's this one section of the prayer they really want God to get. So they're just like, wah, wah, wah. You know what I mean? He's not hard of hearing. And sometimes we get caught up in the drama of our prayers just because we have people around us. I'm reminded of the prayer where Mother Teresa was praying at a prayer breakfast, and somebody yelled out in the back, "Hey, Mother Teresa, you need to pray louder. We can't hear you." Do you know what her response was? She says, "I'm not praying to you." Let me suggest something to you in your life of prayer. I'm not telling you not to pray with people, but I am telling you, spend most of your time praying alone. He says, "I see you in your secret place, and the Father who sees you in secret will reward you." I am telling you, get off by yourself where prayer is not a show, where prayer is not a consensus, where you and the Lord can absolutely, you can empty your heart of whatever is there. If it's praise and worship, fine. If it's junk, fine. It doesn't matter. It is a time for, he gives you that invitation. Will you call to me? I'm inviting you to come and commune with me. We seek earthly counsel out all the time. How many of you got an app? How many of you go to web.com? How many of you got all kinds of apps you can go to? And remember, doctors tell you, don't look that stuff up. It'll scare you to death, you know? But we look for all kinds of earthly counsel. I'm not saying earthly counsel is unwise. I'm just saying don't disregard the counsel from your God. A lot of times our counsel is just an earthly consensus. I'm not saying don't have that conversation with a best friend. I'm not saying don't throw that out there for people to respond to. But I am saying go on a step further. What is the counsel of God in this situation? I want to remind you that Isaiah got to go to a room that you and I have not been allowed to go to. And he got to see some magnificent things there. And when Isaiah came back, he used all his means to describe who the Lord is. Please remember that one of those means was he said, God is a wonderful counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. So talk to your friends, yes. Ask about consensus. Do the feedback. Bounce that off people. But I am telling you, keep going a step further and seek the counsel of our Lord and who he is. He is a wonderful counselor. The Lord's invitation to call to me is not pray less, but pray more. It is an increase. Here it is. It is, Lord, I don't understand. I need you to help me to understand. For all true wisdom comes from God. Here's what James says. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. And he'll give it to you liberally. And I don't mean politically and versus conservatively. He will give it to you fully, the wisdom. And it can be something really, really simple. Really simple. One of our baptisms this morning was a young lady who was just invited here by a friend. She came, she heard the gospel, she responded to the gospel. We baptized Emily today, all on just the power, the power of an invitation. Just the power of an invitation. God works on those things. Brian is sitting beside a dear friend. We're going to baptize him next Sunday. How's that all happening? Just the power of an invitation. Just the power of an invitation. Very simply, come with me. He's doing the same invitation to you. Call to me. Bring your lack of understanding to me. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord said, hey, come, let's reason together. Let's reason together. You've got to understand, a lot of us in this room will go, man, I know a lot. That's great. But he's going to show you there's a lot of things that you don't know. It doesn't mean I love him less. It doesn't mean that I trust him less. It just means you're relying on your own understanding. And the direct response to us living a kingdom life is don't lean on your own understanding and how you're going to be able to figure that out. I think you've got it. Here becomes the answer, the promise. The promise is I will answer you. It's a wonderful promise. Let me back that up with Scripture. Psalm 91:15. Psalm 91 is my God is a mighty fortress chapter. And the psalmist is talking about what the Lord is saying to him. When the psalmist calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and I'll give him honor. Let's go back to Jeremiah and look at verse 29. Verse 12. You will call to me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. There's just this incredible invitation given to me and you that we are invited by the Creator of this world to come and commune with Him, spend time with Him. But then with this promise of I will answer you comes a catch. And you're going, I knew it, right? I knew it. Here's the catch. It'll always be on His terms. Always. For example, let's say you've got something against somebody, okay? And you're going, well, I'm going to wait till they come to me. Now, if I go to Scripture, specifically the book of Matthew, what's God's answer to that situation? Come on. You go to them. Guess what that answer is going to be 50 years from now? You go to them. Not going to change. He'll answer you. But because years have gone by doesn't mean the answer is going to be any different. A lady called me this week. She said, thank you for teaching me kingdom principles. You're more than welcome. I want to hear the story. She says, I had this, I could just sense me and this person were not getting along. I went to them, sat down with them, and said, hey, this is what I sense. It could be wrong. I just want to tell you, but I want us to be friends. I appreciate what you do for me. And it cleared it all up. She goes, thank you. I said, that's a kingdom move right there. That's absolutely a kingdom move. Yesterday I was at the grocery store briefly. And there was a guy behind me, and I was in the 20 items or less, and I did have less than 20 items or 21 or 15 or whatever the number is. And this guy was behind me, and the lady had gotten our groceries mixed up. And he didn't have but a few items. And she goes, oh, I've got them mixed up. And I said, well, you know, he could be a nice guy, and he could just pay for it. And he just like looked at me, and then guess what the Lord did? Y'all know the next move? Don't put that on him. And I said, I'm sorry, man. I said, have I given you your Christmas present this year? No. I said, did I give you yours last year? He goes, no. I said, well, then Merry Christmas in the month of July. Just bought his stuff. I mean, that's going against the current. Do you know what I'm saying? There's this, if you will pray to him, he will answer you. But the answer is always going to be his way. Let me give you this. Let's go to Jericho. Story of Jericho, right? Thick walls, tall walls, one of the most fortified cities in existence of that day and time. Joshua, who's leading the people, is a strategist. How are we going to take the city? Joshua would have probably said, we're going to take it this way and have his own description. But the Lord told Joshua, here's how we're going to take the city. We're going to take a certain number of days, and we're going to do things at certain times of the day, and we're going to march around the city, and we're going to blow trumpets, and we're going to sing, and we're going to shout. And you can see Joshua going, you're going to what? You're going to do what? I mean, he's a strategist. You're not going to take a city that way. God says, you watch. If you, and I encourage you, sometime this week, read the story. It was very detailed how they were even to line up. Kind of like your elementary school teacher, you know? You had to line up very specifically. And you're to march a certain number of times. And you got an instruction on when to shout, when to blow your trumpets. And then that last day, y'all sing the songs with me, and the wall came tumbling down, right? I've been there twice. I've led tours there. Other people have been there that you know of. They know where Jericho is. It was such a big wall, a fortified wall, you would think archaeologically they could find it, right? It's so crumbled they can't find it. Because when he takes a city, he takes a city. But guess whose way they did it? They did it his way. He had an answer. How are we going to take the city? Well, this is how you're going to take it. What about a man's eye? That one man, this is kind of gross if you think through it for a moment, but they take dirt, Jesus spits in it, makes mud, and puts it on the man's eyes. You going to that eye doctor? Huh? He's able to see. I'm just trying to tell you, God will let you know what you know, but he'll also let you know what you don't know. And we've got to get to the point, we can't walk around like we know it all. Because Paul even says, I haven't obtained it all. I told you that earlier. We've got to understand there are some things that it doesn't mean I don't trust him. It doesn't mean I don't love him. There are some things that I have got to learn about the Lord. So he gives you the invitation, call to me. He also gives you the promise that I am going to answer you. That promise is there in Scripture. It's here with us. And he gives it to us. He says, I will answer you. Then it goes on. He said in verse 3, he said, I will tell you, or I will show you great and mighty things. The word show means that the only way you can get there is he takes you. You're not even going to get there by accident. You're not going to stumble on it. The only way you can get there, and I'm going to bring this up again here in a moment. I'll explain it further. But it's inaccessible to me and you. Can't get there. We can't even haphazardly get there. The only way that we get to these things that are great and wondrous is only if he takes us to that place. He is absolutely the only one that can do that. This great and mighty things means you can't understand it without him. Some of you are new in your faith. Some of you are every year trying to recapture your Bible study. I firmly believe this, and Scripture is going to back me up. But I don't believe you can fully understand Scripture without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is the reader with you. You can take a verse of Scripture, depending on what season you are in your life, and the Holy Spirit will highlight a line or two. And then you can be in another season of your life and have the same Scripture verse, and he will highlight different things. And it be exactly the same verse. That you've got to realize it's not just, hey, God, I did my reading today. It's that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us in that interpretation of that reading. It says that the point of it is that these great and mighty things, you're never going to understand them on your own. Some of you are going, hey, Pastor Jeff, you see the world a little differently than I do. Well, there could be some reasons for that. I've been a believer for a long time. I've been a pastor for 33 years. I have dedicated my life to studying his word. And because of that, in maturing in Christ, I may see the world, I may see its temptations a little differently. Like, for example, you could come to me with a life situation and you go, hey, Pastor, what is this? And I'll go, it's a trap. And you're going to go, well, I don't see that it's a trap. How can you see that it's a trap? And then I'll just have to tell you, God's taking me to those places. It becomes a trap. You have to watch out. Some of you have brought that to me, and I've had that very conversation with you. Why do you see it's a trap? And I try to explain to you how I'm able to see that that is a trap for your life. Why? Am I smarter than you? I'm not smarter than you, but men who've influenced my life, they said, I'm not more gifted than you are. I've just done it longer. And because I've done it longer, God's taken me in a lot of places to be able to see. And this is what's happening to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in this very context, his city is being destroyed. In this context, he's held prisoner. There's nothing but destruction around him. Absolutely destruction. And he's going, man, how can anything good come out of this? How can that happen? Let me take you to something that I read this week. I just went ahead and did the copy and paste thing and gave Warren Wiersbe the credentials, and it's going to be on a couple pages here, a couple slides. The word translated unsearchable pictures an impregnable city protected by high walls. An apt image during the siege of Jerusalem. The idea is that God's people don't learn the hidden things of the Lord by storming the gates through their own strength, but by seeking him through believing prayer. Because Jeremiah asked the Lord to teach him, which is verse chapter 32, God showed him hidden things that related to the future of his people. There's a couple things I want to teach you here. When you're going, your life can feel like Jeremiah and his city, Jerusalem. Man, it's just falling in. Here's a question you need to ask yourself. What's the Lord teaching me? What's he teaching me? Because he's teaching you something. I'm not saying he calls that season of your life, but I certainly am telling you he will use that season of your life. With Tom's death and a season of care for Julie's parents, what is he teaching me? What's he teaching me? He's teaching me a lot of different stuff. I know one thing, I do love the Lord, but I put way too much stock in this old world, I can tell you that. He's teaching me a lot of things. So a question to ask, what are you trying to teach me? It's not that the hidden things can't be known to you. It's that the only way you can get to the hidden things are through him. He's the only one who knows the trail. He's the only one who knows the code on the keypad. He's the only one who can get you. You're not haphazardly going to stumble on it. It doesn't say you can't know hidden things. It's just saying you can't find them out on your own. It's not that you can't get on to great and mighty things. It's not you're not going to get there by yourself. Absolutely by yourself. He's going to be able to lead you through those things. So it gets to a point that great and mighty things are not there so we can let the world know who we are, but great and mighty things will happen in your life so you can tell the world who he is, not who we are. Here's a great invitation. The great invitation is, call to me. Let's chat. Let's hang out at Starbucks. Let's just commune together. There are some things you know. There are some things you don't know. But I want to remind you, you're talking to the man who formed it all. So we need to understand that his counsel is a reliable source in our life. There's a great invitation for you to get there. Just like this morning, Steve called me this morning. Hey, preacher, we got a water main break. Okay, I'm going back to when we were mobile and had to be flexible on a fly. I said, okay, we're going to abbreviate the services. We're going to do baptism. We're going to have preaching, and we're going to have Lord's Supper. And then I just felt the Lord going, that's really all that matters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, have you really missed First Drop? Say no. Please say no. you understand? I mean, the two ordinances of the church that he told us to do, we did today. Lord's Supper and baptism. He honors the preaching of his word. And even though it's inconvenient, and we do have bathrooms, which are down there at the bay, you just got to travel a little distance. But the point is, let's just get the main things done today. Let's just honor me in my word today, Jeff. And let's go on, right? There are some things that I don't understand. I don't understand why Tom left at 31 years of age, the man that he was to us and to others. I don't understand that, but I will. I will. Here's the point. In the middle of Jeremiah having great destruction, he's in prison. His city is being besieged. He's saying, Jeremiah, there's restoration going on. You just wait. In the season of Tom's death, I could say, man, it's over. But the Lord says to me, there's restoration going on. You just wait. He's about restoration, is he not? That's not what he does. I mean, I just had a conversation after the first service, and the lady's like, man, there's restoration going on in my life. I said, you know, even in the death of Jesus and the burial, it looks like it's the end of all of it, but guess what? Resurrection was going on. What does it say in Romans 8:28? For all of us who love the Lord, he works things out, doesn't he? Yeah. For those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, he works it out. He's in the restoration business. Go with me to the 23rd Psalm. Let's limp along through it, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. Keep going. He restores my soul. He's in the restoration business. And no, it may feel like your own personal life, the walls are closing in. But guess what is happening in the midst of what you see destruction? He's restoring. And that's what he said to Jeremiah. You're seeing your city is over with. I'm telling you that even though this is all happening, and here's why it's happening, I'm already in the restoration business. And that's hidden from Jeremiah. And the only way he could see that is that God take him there, that I am in the future going to restore Jerusalem. We got to bank on that. Whatever's going on with you, restoration is happening. You may not see it, it may not feel like it, but that's who he is. And you're going, well, man, I didn't know about these hidden things of God. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29. The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. It doesn't say that hidden things are kept from you. It's just saying the only way you're going to figure them out is that God take you there. It doesn't say that he won't take you there. It just says we have to go with him. And guys, listen to me. Don't look on the stage. Listen to me. Here's our problem. So many of us in this room think we've already got it all figured out. And if you've got it all figured out, why do you need God as a reliable source of wisdom, right? Why do I even need him? You know what happens when we get to where we think we've got it all figured out? Is that we don't go to him. I've used this illustration for years. And this illustration is for me. It is really for me. But maybe it'll help you. My son's 34. Let's pretend he's a kid. He's 7. My daughter's 29, she would have to be 2, okay? And they're playing in the driveway of our home. And they're out there trying to outdo one another, and they both fall and skin their knees, right? And here's Daddy in the driveway, and I've got my arms opened up, and I'm ready to take in my kids and kiss their boo-boos and tell them everything's going to be all right. But after they scrape their knee, they run over to the neighbor. And here I am. Do y'all get the picture of that? Me and you, we go through stuff in this world because you just go through stuff in this world. We get our knees skinned up spiritually, and guess where we run? Somewhere else. And the Father is waiting for us. He gives you an invitation. Come to me. Call, I'll answer you. I'll help it. It's going to be according to His way and His will and His plan. But I'll help it out. I promise I will. And I'm going to tell you, it seems like those knees are skint and you're going to be scarred for life. But I want to tell you, restoration's going on. Even in the midst of your tears, it's going on. I grew up with an old Heavenly Hymns, old Heavenly Highway hymn book. I don't know, some of y'all not that old. But I grew up with that, and there was an old hymn in there that sang, "Oh, where shall I go? Oh, where shall I go? Oh, where shall I go but to the Lord?" I just want to tell you that He's the most reliable source. He created it all, and He invites you to come. He gives you an invitation. Come to me. I'll answer you. And I can tell you about the hidden things, but the only way you're going to get to them is if you let me lead you there. So the problem is we think we've got it all figured out. And when we think we've got it all figured out, we deal with Him less. So here it is. Let's just run into the neighbor, okay? I've got good neighbors. I love my neighbors. But I want my kids to run to Daddy. And He does exactly the same thing to you. May we pledge in our hearts today. May we do that. That I'm going to spend more time with the Father. I'm going to spend more time with Him. Emptying out what I need to empty out. Letting Him feel what He needs to feel. And spending time with Him. Because He can take us to the hidden things. But He's the only one who can. Call to me and I will answer you. And I'll tell you great, unsearchable, hidden things that right now you don't understand and you never will without me. Let's make a pledge that we go to Him today. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You've never done that. There'll be people here for you to do that. We wanted to honor the preaching of His word, communion and baptism today, but we also wanted to give you an opportunity to respond. We're giving you that opportunity now. You come and surrender your life to Him today. If you're a believer, even if you're not a part of this church, we offer communion. The bread represents His body given. The drink represents His blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Will you thank Him that He is in the restoration business? And when everything seems like destruction, He is actually already on the way of restoration in you. And thank Him for restoring your soul. Do that before you consume it. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot. Logan and Robert are going to lead us. You come, you respond.